Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I've got something very special. We're going to begin a new series. Right before I introduce that, let me say that today is our 11th anniversary of starting the Gospel Truth television broadcast. It was January the 3rd, 2000, when I first went on the air. And for those of you who remember, there was this Y2K scare. And I mean, there were people just panicking. There were people buying all kinds of food. They were selling their homes and moving out into the country and planting gardens and buying weapons that they were going to protect themselves and kill their neighbors in the name of the Lord as this Y2K problem came. And about a year before that came up, I took a stand against that and said that, man, this is incorrect, that even if there was going to be some kind of a terrible thing happen January the 1st of 2000, that God wouldn't want us to hoard. The way to prosper is to give and not to keep. I came out against the fear tactics. And when we started our program on January the 3rd, 2000, I told the people, I said, if you're watching this program, then you know that the Y2K scare was a hoax. And I said, if you aren't watching this program, if Y2K turned out to be something major, then I would come on and apologize. And I challenged all of the people who missed it and talked about the Y2K scare, if they were wrong, to come on and apologize too. And of course, I never heard anybody apologize. And they say, well, it was just a precaution. It didn't do any damage. It does do damage when you instill fear in people. Fear is a devastating effect. And when you get people motivated by fear and then something doesn't come to pass and you say, well, we were just being cautious. No, you have conditioned them to live and operate under fear. So that's not good. So anyway, here we are 11 years later, and God has really blessed us. We started on the INSP network, and it covered about 1%, between 1 and 2% of the households in the United States. By the summer of 2000, God had opened up a door for us to go on God TV, which at that time was only overseas, but it reached a huge segment of the world's population overseas. And by the end of 2010, we were probably up to around 4 to 5% of the U.S. population and a large overseas audience. And here we are in January 2011. Our program is the third most watched Christian program, daily program in the United States. And our media buyer says that we have a potential of reaching 2.2 billion people. And of course, that's before we added some of our recent affiliates. And so actually, we're probably around 2.5 billion people on this planet can now watch our program. So I just want to give a big thanks to the Lord. And also, I want to say thanks to those of you who are partners with us. You know, our ministry is different in the sense that we do encourage people to give. I'm not saying that we don't ever ask for people to give and be a part of what we're doing. But it's not the same as a lot of other ministries. We don't just sell our product. We have a suggested donation, and we encourage people to give, but about 53%, I think, of the people who contact us don't give a thing, and we go ahead and send the materials to them as a gift. And because of that, our ministry really is different. It is dependent upon the people who God touches, and that you are blessed by this program. You see the benefit and you want to help us reach out. And we are really, really dependent upon the people who just choose to give and be a blessing. So I want to thank those of you who've made all of this possible. I mean, we praise the Lord and we recognize Him as the one who's opened the doors. But also I want to thank all of you who've responded to the Lord and have been a partner with us. It's been awesome. Today, what I want to do, something very special. And I want to start sharing some testimonies with you about how this ministry, how the Lord has touched people through this ministry. And I think that this is important to do. In our Bible college, one of the things that I do is teach people. I teach our students how to minister. And one of the points that I make is that you have to use testimonies, whether it's your own personal testimony or if it's a scriptural testimony. But people remember stories. I've had people write in before and they say, I forgot what teaching it was, but it's where you told this story, and they list the story. And because of that, I have all of my teachings indexed by the stories that are in them, because often people will call and ask for the teaching, not by the title. They can't even remember what the teaching was about, but they remember this story. And so I believe that they are very effective. This is why Jesus taught by parables. I actually had a woman in one of my classes, and I have our students stand up and they have to give a 10-minute teaching. And this woman was teaching on healing, and she talked for only about 2 or 3 minutes, and then she just ran out of steam and she stopped and she says, I don't know what else to say. So I started helping her and I prompted her and I asked her questions and I said, so have you ever been healed by the Lord? And she said, oh yeah, I was healed of stage 4 cancer. And boy, my jaw just hit the table nearly when she said that. And I said, you were healed of cancer and you're teaching on healing and you didn't tell people your testimony? And I just got on her case and I said, that is irresponsible. I said, yes, we need to believe the word. But I said, you know, there's a lot of people that are skeptical about the word or about your interpretation of the word. But if you can back it up by a testimony, there's a lot of people that wouldn't just sit there and say, well, you're a liar, I don't believe you. But they might sit there and criticize or question the word or your interpretation of it. But if you can bring it down to, this is working for me, I said, you need to share those kind of truths with people. So what I'm going to do for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we have 3 healing journey videos. We've had 1 and 2 for quite a time now, and we've just come out with a 3rd healing journey videos. There's 5 testimonies on each one of these. And so for 3 weeks, I'm just going to go through and I'm going to highlight these. I'm not going to be able to play everything. Like this first healing journey that we're going to talk about today is the story of Nikki Oshinsky. And it was just so dramatic what happened with Nikki, that I sent my television crew down there, and she is the very first person that we ever interviewed and put out her testimony. And I tell you, I was there, of course, when she got healed. I was the one that prayed for her. But when I saw this DVD and I saw documented all of the things, even talking to her doctor, and I saw this, I tell you, it touched me more than being there. I know that somebody might misunderstand or think, how could that be? But I honestly didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand the severity of how bad her situation was. And when I actually saw it and saw the miracle of what God did, I tell you, it has touched me. And I have never watched Nikki's testimony that I haven't just sat there and bawled. Nikki and her husband, Mark, have become good friends. Of course, her whole family, the parents, and I see them on a regular basis. We call each other, and I tell you, here she is nearly 10 years later, and God is just moving mightily in her life. So I know you're going to be blessed by this, and what we're going to do is just play a little portion of this first Healing Journeys DVD. There's actually 5 testimonies on there. You're going to just see one of these testimonies, a shortened version of it, and I believe you'll be blessed.
I was 14 years old. It was in April, I believe. And we had gone to Wednesday night service.
2 cars in front of us went out of control, hit the median.
We were hit in the back right side, right where I was, by a car.
It was raining. It was dark. There were other cars involved. We just lumped up in the back seat and started singing.
And we were singing, I've got a feeling everything is going to be all right. I'm going to cry. As the ambulance went on, and I knew in my spirit that something had changed. About 6 months after the accident, I had a pain in my left hip.
Not only was her hip hurting, but she had other weird symptoms, like her legs would be cold and the trunk of her body would be hot.
So we went to the doctor that everybody goes to for sniffles and sprained ankle and all that. And she took x-rays and poked around on my leg and said, I can't find anything wrong with you.
There were some points where Chris and I looked at each other and said, where's this going to go?
One of the things that I noticed early that stopped was natural crying. Nikki didn't cry when she was in pain. She would lay in pain, but she quit crying after not too long.
After about 2 years, I went to a rheumatologist, which I had seen the year before and had given me the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, which is a sister to chronic fatigue syndrome, but the opposite of it, because pain is more important than you being fatigued. And so he had given me that diagnosis, and really it's, we don't know what's wrong with you, so we'll call it this.
There was no cure. There was no answer. It was, if you had fibromyalgia, you had to learn to live with it. And we didn't want to accept that as an answer. There had to be something curable wrong. And he said, all I can do is give you sleeping pills to help her rest at night and pain pills to cope during the day.
I remember for at least 2 years, between 1 and 4 in the morning, I would go to bed about 10. Then between 1 and 4 in the morning, Mom would always end up having, I'd have to end up going get Mom or yell for her, or, you know, depending on what my body was doing that time.
We had to buy a car, especially for taking her around. That we call it a marshmallow car because it had to be very cushioned. I learned to avoid certain streets because they weren't paved well. And if I did hit a bump, she would always go,
I never questioned the healing, but I questioned when the timing would come. Because at one point I had run up to God and I said, okay, God, when am I going to get healed? And he said, Nikki, this miracle is going to be a progressive miracle. And I said, okay, I'm good with that. A progressive miracle is better than no miracle at all.
If there's anything that made it work for me, it was her laughter every day. It might not have been for long, but it was always there.
Something that she taught us through all of this is how to enjoy life. The moment, not, it didn't have to be big. It didn't have to be Disney World. It was the moment. Mom, look at that little girl. Look at that smile. Mom, look at that nice lady. You know, wasn't that sweet the way the checkout girl talked to me today? Or, I sure like wearing this blue shirt. You know, just the small, little, wonderful things that we all take for granted. We had heard about a clinic that was specifically for people who had symptoms that didn't connect with each other.
When we went to that clinic and I started getting saline IVs, which I were allergic to, and started getting saunas, is when it all sped up like fast forward.
Her whole muscular tone absolutely went out the door.
I was in a wheelchair full time. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't dress myself. I couldn't get myself out of bed. I couldn't bathe myself. Or Mom and Dad did everything for me.
I was very shocked when I saw her, because the last time I saw her was about 4 or so years ago, and she was walking around her own power and being able to function very well. I examined her as best I could. I couldn't get her up and move around because she was not able to do that.
I used to be able to get up in the morning and say, oh, today I'm going to do laundry, I'm going to wash dishes, I'm going to run to the grocery store, run to Walmart, and then I'll be home. And in any given day, I might be able to accomplish brushing my teeth or getting my hair done in the bathroom.
You know, when you're well, a day can be very long. But when you're sick, a day is forever. And so many things can go wrong in a day when you're sick.
It was a struggle to care for her like an infant and treat her like a 19-year-old young woman.
My hand had started atrophying like this. And my feet would turn inside. The doctors always commented how my feet would roll inward. They're supposed to roll outward when you relax, but they had atrophied inward. That's a sign of death.
And I said, Lord, I've got to know. Is Nikki going to die?
Came in. Chris informed me that she really wanted to go to church because there was a guest speaker that night. I said, sure, go ahead, I'm here.
We've known Andrew and Jamie about 3 or 4 years now, I think. This is our fourth year, I think. So Andrew had scheduled, he'd been to our church about a year and a half ago, and he had then rescheduled to come in November. And we'd had Andrew scheduled for probably a year.
Mom took her cell phone for when I had to use the restroom, because I'm close to Dad, but not that close. And she went to church.
Andrew started out, and he said, you know, tonight I would like to talk to you all about grace and faith. And I thought, oh, good, here we go. Grace and faith again.
And 2.5 hours later, I called her, and I said, Mom, I'm good to come home. I have to use the restroom. Hurry, I've been here too long.
Andrew just got up, taught on healing, then he said, all right, anybody that's in pain, come up.
So I ran up in front of the next person in line. I just ran up there because I had no choice. I had to get home. I don't know who I cut in front of, but oh well. And I said, hi, Andrew, my name's Chris Oshinsky, and I have a 19-year-old daughter at home. Would you come and pray for her?
And he said, well, sure. So she took the tape home that night with her.
And Mom brought the tape home from Andrew's teaching that Wednesday night.
I said, I heard a sermon tonight, a teaching about grace and faith, and I wish I could explain it to you, but it's in my heart. It's not in my brain. I just know, though, you've got to hear the tape.
So the next day, I listened to the tape, and Andrew was going to come over with my pastor, Pastor Rich.
How he shared the message of grace and faith was that grace was always there. Grace is always there. And faith is the name for our response to grace.
But when he said, progressive miracles aren't the complete will of God, I said, okay, God, you told me my miracle would be progressive. And this man is saying something contrary to that. Now, where does that line up? And he said, Nikki, according to your faith, it was going to be a progressive miracle. And I said, you're right, because I was afraid of being instantly healed because of where I was mentally. Even though I knew God wanted me to heal me, and I did want to be healed, don't get me wrong, but it had gone on for so long.
One of the standard conversations Nikki and I had for about 2-3 weeks before that was, Nikki, if you can just make your legs fall off of that chair so I can see your feet hit the floor, it sure would make Dad feel good. And she'd always say, Dad, I'm trying. I'm trying, Dad. And they never hit the floor.
He came in and Nikki was laying there just, you know, totally bedridden.
And he said, hi, Nikki, my name is Andrew, and I believe you're going to get healed today. And I looked at him and I said, I do too. And I was like, if I could have gone like that, I would have. I can't believe I just said that. But I knew I was going to be healed.
And Andrew asked the question, which he had asked everybody. He said, do you have pain in your body? And she said, yes. And he said, if it left, would you know it?
I thought in the back of my mind, I don't remember what it's like not to hurt. I sure hope I know what it feels like when it leaves, but I'm not sure that I will.
He prayed for her and then asked her if the pain had left. She says, well, I think she had some in her shoulders and neck.
Well, Andrew didn't know she fell out of the wheelchair the week before and got whiplash.
He said, oh, that's just the devil. He's a pain in the neck.
So he rebuked it and it went away. And he said, well, get up and move around and see if it's gone. And I went to get up.
Well, Nikki's laying on her back. She goes,
she just shook all over her body.
I couldn't sit up by myself. Was not a shock to me one bit. I was not surprised. But he goes, what's wrong with you?
And he said, well, we just have to pray about that. That's all there is to it.
And he knelt down beside my chair and he said, well, can I pray for you? And I said, yeah, you can pray for me.
This was unusual. And she just sort of lumped up or over in the chair.
She began to cry and wail from her belly, from her innermost being, like I had never heard her cry before.
And I checked out in the spirit. But this time I walked up to Jesus, and Jesus didn't walk up to me. I saw myself walking up to him. Interesting, huh? And it was like an episode of The X-Files. don't promote that show, just saying it was like that. And he took his hands and he peeled all away my skin, layer by layer. He got all the way down to my feet, and when he got to my feet and he was like throwing away this dead skin, I felt so physically strong.
Andrew was in mid-prayer. He was imparting righteous indignation in her. He was imparting strength and life in Jesus' name. She took one hand on the covers and threw it back. She took her other arm and went straight across Andrew's chest and at the same time kicked with her feet to get those covers off.
And those little legs came swinging off of that pallet and they hit the floor. And the whole house exploded, starting with Mom.
I was at the other end of the room screaming and jumping and just rejoicing.
That was awesome, but it felt so normal. Happened like that. I was shaking. My muscles were going, "What are you doing?" But I did it, and I was able to do it.
And she got halfway across the living room, and Andrew and Pastor Rich were there. And she looked at Andrew and she said, "And I don't want to shake anymore either." And he laughed and he put his hands on her and he said, "In the name of Jesus, body, you be still."
And he prayed for the shaking to go, and I walked as smooth as day to Mom.
It was an incredible moment. And all I could do was thank God for changing our hearts that we could receive Him.
Since then, I have not had one allergy shot. I have not had any major drugs. I have not had a chiropractic adjustment.
She had a miraculous healing. I mean, there's nothing short of a miracle here. This girl, in my opinion, was going to die.
Healing is an avenue to people's hearts. I mean, everywhere Nikki goes, she starts telling somebody about her healing, like when she went climbing a couple weeks ago in this big elevator, which you'll see, but they told the guy there her testimony. It is, what's amazing to me, it seems to touch lost people almost more than saved people.
To be able to tell anyone what God did is the only way I can properly thank God for what He did. I could stand on many stages and say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you did." But it would be better served in the back of a grocery store, the lady I bump into and the Holy Spirit says, "Tell her what I did." And tell her, and she tells her friends, or she knows the next time her kid gets sick, who to turn to. It's all about the love of God. It's not because I was a special person or because I was happy the whole time or because I was a positive thinker. It was because Jesus died for me because He loved me. That's the end of it.
Is it true today that when people pray, cloudless skies will break, kings and queens will shake? Yes, it's true, and I believe it. I'm living for you.
The story you saw in today's program is included, along with four additional healing testimonies, on the Healing Journeys Volume 1 DVD. This DVD is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get this product as part of the Healing Journeys package, which includes three DVDs, Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, and 3. These three DVDs contain a total of 15 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. In addition to the DVDs, this package also includes a copy of the booklet, God Wants You Well. This booklet answers questions about healing and lists every instance in the Bible where Jesus healed. The entire package has a catalog value of $77, but today you can get the Healing Journeys package for a gift of just $50 or more. The booklet, God Wants You Well, is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this booklet free of charge when you request it. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. We're so pleased that you've joined us for this holiday broadcast. In honor of that holiday, we've given our employees the day off. There are no operators on the helpline today, but you can go to our website, even on holidays, and order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. You may also write us and request ministry materials at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 6th through the 8th. At Living Word Bible Church in Mesa, Arizona this Sunday, January 9th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 20th through the 22nd. He'll also be in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 10th through the 12th, in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 9th through the 11th, and in Orlando, Florida, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 31st through April 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
There's much more than just classroom activity at Charis Bible College. Students participate in hands-on ministry, like working on the ministry helpline.
I'm a first-year student at CBC, and I work in the phone center full-time.
I'm a second-year student at CBC, and I work full-time in the phone ministry.
90% of the volunteers in the phone center are Charis Bible College students.
Thank you for calling Andrew Womack Ministries.
80% of the employees are CBC graduates.
I'm a graduate of CBC last year in 2009, and I've been working in the phone center for 2 years.
The ministry and the college are working hand in hand to deliver the gospel truth every day.
We're changing lives and we're changing the world one life at a time.